Yeah, I don't know where Danielle is. So I think we can...
Start with introductions, and we can do agenda setting in the hopes that we may get one or two more folks that can join. Would love to remind me of your name if you could. I know we all carry hundreds of roles, but some of the roles you play on CSC within SLT at PlaceBridge. And then gifting me with one thing that you love about your school would be a real honor. So whoever would like to start, you get to pick which direction we're going around.
I'll go. I don't care. Okay. I'm Travis DePue. I'm on the SLT, and I'm the center program MI special education teacher here for middle school. And, you know, I just love the diversity of the school, and I guess we'll go this way.
I'm David Elbott. I teach third grade at PlaceBridge. I'm on SLT, and, yeah, I agree. I really enjoy just the international diversity that we have at our school. It's pretty unique.
I'm Patricia Damel. I teach sixth grade math. Seventh grade math. I don't know what I teach, and but I taught newcomers last year, sixth grade, and I loved teaching the newcomers last year. That was a huge challenge, but like they said, the diversity and then the, I don't know, just the newness, the excitement the kids would get when they'd figure something out, you know, that was kind of fun.
My name is Kajatuja. I know the school since 2009 from my oldest daughter, and then I start working here in 2013. I'm a para and parent of three kids who went to school here.
I'm Elvina Chu. I'm CSC representing the parents. I'm also a second grade teacher.
Katie McGowan, I am the sixth grade math teacher. I'm on both CSC and SLT as the union rep as well. And along with the diversity, I like the melody of all the different languages spoken at any one time, just listening to all of them.
That's a nice description.
Forgot to tell you what I love.
Oh, yes,
me too.
What do you like about our school, Miss D?
Especially like the newcomer. Like my two kids were born here. I took them back home, so they speak French, Bambara, and English. Mm. And the diversity too, I like it.
Oh, and I forgot to say I'm an SLT.
I like the parents. I like how I get to go to them and talk to them about their students and get to show them what cool thing we do in America. And we compare it with our country, and we have a lot of cool stories together that we can talk about, so, yeah.
I'm Lauren Pudai. I'm on the CSC. I'm the secondary ELD teacher here, and I love, the students. They're just great.
Hey, Chris Thornton. I teach middle school science, sixth and eighth grade. I'm on the SLT, and I like our faculty here. I enjoy working with all the different people here. I think people here work really hard and they get along really well.
Kathleen Nicholas, PE, athletic director. I'm on SLT and PC committees here. I've been here since the school opened. I've seen a lot of things happen for the good and for the bad. But the reason I'm still here is because I love the kids.
Yes. Dave Smith, phys ed. I do a lot of the coaching here as well. I agree with Chris. The staff here is just great. We seem to always just kind of get along and different challenges every day, and we seem to just kind of come together and get over them. And the kids, too. I mean, they make it fun to be here, so, yeah.
Kathleen Cooney, I'm I opened the school, started working with newcomers. I love the families, the community. I'm part of the PDA community, extensive to homes, and the staff obviously is a very interesting challenge to get to know different personalities and be able to come together for the common goal, who are the students, and students is the first motive.
Kevin King, I'm a regional instructional superintendent for the Near Northeast, which is we're about in the south quadrant through Northfield with George Washington High School, Park Hill schools in between. Most of us have met, but I my first time at Placebridge, because I did most of my service as a teacher and then an administrator in Adams County. So I've just been in the district 3 years, more focused on turnaround schools in my previous role as a network instructional superintendent. So my first visit to Placebridge was when we were in the midst of the principal hiring process in May. And then my second visit was when we had a faculty meeting with Susanna. And so I'm still playing catch up, right? But I will say one of the many things that I love now that I've had the gift of being in classrooms and first day of school and meeting your students is the phenomenal diversity of language, of race, of ethnicity, of origin, and the passion for the school. So even when we had some of the tougher conversations last spring, just the deep love that is obvious that I have heard from this faculty and CSC and parent body, I think those are just phenomenal strengths for a school. So I just have three questions, but I'm here for you. And
there's
so
one more member.
Oh, yes, I cut you off.
That's okay,
sorry.
No problem.
I get so excited.
That's what we like is a lot of energy. I'm Roxy Berkman. I am the programs director here in the school and CSC chair. I've been here going on 9 years, and I've seen our school grow from a different lens, being that mostly managing the after-school program. And I think what I love most about this school is the fact that there is not a day that I leave here that I don't learn something about one of our students. And I think for us to understand what we do, we need to understand them. And I learn more from them than they probably learn from me.
Thank you. Awesome. Well, thank you. That was quite a gift to hear. And so I wanted to throw out three questions, but I'm here for you, and so we can budget our time for any other priorities that you have, is to do this as a check-in, particularly in relation to where I heard the state of the school last spring. You know, what's working at a high level? To hear, you know, more texture to that instructionally, CSC, budget, collaborative teams, et cetera. But really, high level, what's working this year? What's not yet that we should continue to prioritize? And then to begin the conversation on long-term principal hiring. And so I have some, you know, sub-questions there for you, but really those are the three buckets that I was hoping to cover. Does that meet your expectations, and what other things do you want to make sure we prioritize?
I think that sounds like a good place to start.
I agree, yeah.
Great, good, okay. So what's working so far this year?
I will tell you, I really like the excitement on the kids' faces when they all got there, when they came in Monday morning and everybody kind of looked alike, you know, with the new hoodies and the vests.
Beautiful.
And they are. I still, as a middle school teacher, hate the hoodies because I feel that the hoods are up, and even though they've told, you know, it is a classroom nightmare on that, but because I hate to see them hiding their identity. You know, I want the hoods off. I want to see their faces. I want to see if they understand something or they don't. When those hoods are up, you know.
And the AirPods.
And they do hide the AirPods. And they hide the food in the pockets. And the cell phones. But really, I want to see their face. So, but I love the seeing everybody. It seemed like my classes changed this week where kids were dressed to learn. And I've had more learning take place and more engagement just with kids being in uniform.
I appreciate that our school is trying to be responsive to some of the things our data has shown as far as things that have been challenges in our schools and areas we've not been as successful. I feel like our administration, our staff has recognized it, sought out feedback, and I'm not saying all that stuff is fixed, but it seems like there have been attempts and ongoing attempts to say, this hasn't worked, this isn't working, let's continue to talk about it and find it something that does work.
I think for me, the biggest improvement this year is probably like budget transparency. You know, I think in my 9 years or so here, this is the most I've ever seen the budget. And I feel like Jose is very good about talking about money with the staff and really kind of giving them options about what to spend the money on. So that's been a positive for me this year.
Along with that, I want to say I feel I feel free. I feel treated as a professional. It's, in my mind, that has been a big change. That I don't feel the micromanagement in the past. But on the other hand, I see we're not talking about the negativity, right?
Not yet.
I do want to hear the discipline. Yeah, but we all are going to talk about it, and we probably are going to agree that's the major critical point in the school. The discipline, but in terms of what you were saying, transparency, yes, totally. Yeah. I can see a lot of changes that we never thought would be possible. We're going to get new furniture.
Yeah.
It seems like the money's being moved for the kids.
Yes. For the classrooms.
Like, for the classrooms, and like teachers are getting stuff that they can use for the kids instead of it kind of being the answer's no.
Right, so. And I think that's where we, I think we've seen a lot of growth in the school is that there's been this kind of predetermined, automatic, if we ask for something, it's going to be a no. And now all of a sudden, we're seeing a lot of yeses, and not everything is a yes, but there's at least intentional discussions around what, you know, why we're doing it. And all of a sudden, I think that's kind of empowering to know that you're not going to be shut down the minute you even open your mouth, that there is a little bit of leverage there. If it's going to be a no, at least there's going to be a conversation with it. But been a lot of yeses, and that's been pretty liberating.
Yeah.
The increasing on field trip parts is amazing as well. Students get to learn outside of the classroom door.
I mean, even with the dress code. Having the dress code is completely changed because we were able to give the students the hoodies and the vests. There was not a financial burden for them. So that makes a difference too. You know, all of a sudden, you know, family doesn't have to wait. Can I afford this $3 for a polo versus I brought this home and now I can wear it, so.
I think transparency with data has been another positive with transparency. Just this is everything that we have that we look at. What do you guys see? Or this is why we're making the decision. So transparency with data, and then just communicating the thought process and decision making as well.
And, you know, there's been a lot of Jose's been trying to work to remove the like obstacles that just get in the way of you functioning as a teacher, like having enough copiers or worrying about whether you're going over budget on your on your papers.
God,
and
no.
Color copies.
Oh,
you know,
the color copies.
You know, it's like, if you need it, do it. Like, you know, as he says, I trust your professionalism.
That's
a change.
Especially when you're dealing with the language learners, just that little thing like giving them something in color helps so much.
Or you have a scaffolded tool and you know right where it is, right? Because it's the blue one, or yeah.
I just think back to last year, man, boy, that would have been nice for this, or that would help with this, or that would help this kid pick up this concept. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think from day one, Jose's done amazing things so far. We came in day one and he had the whole front courtyard set up for us, and it was just a change that was like, wow, this is like breathtaking to see the different things that he's done. And then to do back to school night at the park with all the parents coming, yeah, and
the Denver police,
yeah, giving us that opportunity to do that. I just feel that the administration this year is doing a lot to help the teachers feel better and more professional, and for our students as well. So
going along with that, I feel like a lot of teachers in the past, they felt this kind of fear of retaliation if they spoke out or asked for something, and I haven't gotten that, I haven't heard that voice this year. So kind of going along with the freedom and just ability to be professional.
That's great.
And also the admin being present, like when he walked, everybody was like, oh, Principal Martinez. I'm like, how should I know? Like,
he's out there every morning at the buses.
Yeah. Visibility.
And,
and
on the day, every morning.
And their doors are open. Yeah. And they're not hiding behind closed doors.
No, their doors are open. That is, I could pop in my head and say, hey, what do you think about such and such? And I didn't, you know, and I could see his face. It wasn't this email that I was waiting for him to respond on. I'm wondering if I, you know, I could see his facial reaction. I could see, okay, he's okay with this, you know, or, oh, no, he's not okay with this. You know what I mean?
I just want to see if he can see one more here.
Please.
I actually did want to bring that same thing up, so I was kind of
it's so very true. Even as a parent, as parent, the kids are happy every morning. They want to see him, and you know, and I even have a kid who tell me he's how they call favorite, like Gio, he really want Ryan Adams too. He want to go and say hi to him and stuff like that. So
yeah,
if they can see one more year.
Well, let's talk about the hiring process in a second here. I do want to make sure, and I appreciate you sharing all of those. That feels great. I get to see things, you know, twice removed and, you know, average of once a week, but it's more like, you know, a couple times a week, and then I don't get to be here for several. And I thought I was feeling it, but it's really great to hear it in terms of those positive shifts. I know that is leadership at every level, very much including at this table. So thank you for the work that you've done, right? Since we last had a meeting in here, right? I feel that's so huge celebrations. I know we have continued work to do. I'm not surprised to hear discipline already rise, right? That's something Jose, Ryan, and Mariah and I talk quite a bit about, and Roma and our, you know, our walkthroughs. So tell me a little bit more. I do want to make sure we're reserving most of our time for the principal conversation, the hiring process, but I don't want to skirt that. I know we haven't gotten everything yet. So what's the highest priority in terms of what our next improvements are here?
Discipline. 100%.
And we need some school-wide structures in place that it's expected that all teachers follow. Mm-hmm. I know everybody says they feel more relaxed, but I have been in those buildings where you have some teachers that won't enforce dress code or won't be present in the hall to help out with the fights and that. And I hate to tell you, I hate to go back the way, but it worked. You knew you were going to, he was watching those cameras or he was walking through, and you knew you were going to get called in and said, hey, Damel, you weren't in the hall. Hey, Damel, that kid was in your first hour wearing sweatpants and you didn't, I mean, you know what I'm saying, or you didn't confiscate the cell phone. You know.
Gotcha.
So, really, I hate to be that jerk to say that, but maybe to get 100% on board, we're going to have some serious conversations with the individual staff members about you've got to be enforcing this. But then there also has to be some, so I've been tracking kids that aren't in dress code. What's happening with that? Are they doing anything with, I've been putting on this tracker that they asked us to do, a Google spreadsheet. Are they going to do anything with it? Were they so much into the positive? And some of the kids that are getting rewarded with pizzas and that are the kids that are causing the hugest disruptions in class. And at some point, we do need to have some consequences.
So to go off of that,
I got to go on everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but we have to keep in mind, you guys, that Carol Lord did a ton for us, and she's been very sick. She's not here. I don't think
very well. We don't really have much,
So with her being gone, it's gone downhill. Yeah. I think she did a tremendous amount for our discipline with the kids and held them accountable. And not replacing her because, you know, she could come back. We don't know. I think it's been a detriment to
that.
Us.
That's often come up in our strategizing. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
She's done good things.
She did, yes. But what Patricia, you said, we have to have some structure in place that we don't only depend on one individual for the school to function.
Yeah.
And that has been major. Now, I'm going to make a comment that it's an old school person coming from. The beautiful room they did for, what do they call it?
Mental health.
Mental health. It's becoming like a reward for the kids who misbehave. That's my perspective. They just walk in there, and what, along with what you were saying, they're instead of getting negative consequences, or something, no punishment, something to modify the negative behavior. All they do is go there, and I don't know, I know they have professional interventions and all, but it becomes like a reward in my mind, and I'm not okay with that.
With the size of our school that is, I've asked, why don't we have a Carol Lore for K through 4, K and a Carol Lore for 5 through 8? you know, why aren't we breaking it up? Because there is a lot of kids, and it was a lot for Carol. You know, sometimes you'd see a ton of kids in there. She did good at her job, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there was times where I went in there and said, we need to have a dean of discipline for elementary and a dean of discipline for upper academy. So I don't know if that can be.
One of the things that feeds into the problem of the discipline is that I think there's resources been unevenly distributed between the lower academy and the upper academy. Now, in terms of staffing, and we've got 35, 32 sixth grade kids in a science classroom with no, with, you know, one of mine has 8 special ed kids, 3 that don't speak English, 4 people who constantly have behavior problems, and there's no support. You know, so it's like you can't, you know, so but the school got caught by surprise with such a big sixth grade class, and, but with that many kids, it's causing discipline to go downhill and learning is going down. Keep saying that we need to get more staffing, you know, at middle school level. We also ran into a problem beginning of the year that they didn't have enough electives. So all of a sudden,
still have that problem.
They still don't
problem.
Have enough
we
electives.
We still have that got, problem, and we were told that.
So it's, yeah. You know, they don't have enough people for the students that we have. So classes are huge. There's some sort of makeup things for electives. Kids are thrown into like double dip of math and language arts, and it's like, yeah, they could use it, but I think, you know, having art or music or some other outlet besides, oh God, I got to sit in math again. Yeah, it's all combining to
well, and then,
create a discipline problem.
And then those math and language arts classes are too big. They're not a true intervention.
The intervention classes are too big.
And I just said, hey, can I get a para in there? Oh, we don't have them, or we don't have the resources. You know, that, if you're going to make them that, any intervention class I've ever taught, and I've taught for 20 years, and I've read the statistics on it, should never be over 15. And I've got 25 in there.
I mean, the class sizes in middle school are huge.
And it makes the whole field trip thing a little bit laughable because we haven't been able to plan any field trips because we have maybe 40 minutes of plan time a day if that's not filled by meetings or filling out an MTSS tracker or making phone calls home. So no one has had time to plan any field trips in the middle school.
So, even if you have.
So we're given this big budget for field trips, but then we haven't properly staffed.
I did get one planned that's coming up for middle school. And I did it on the snow day when no kids came.
Right.
And I was able to get it done. By grace, I had a couple class periods that I had no kids in. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, I can get this done. You know.
I feel like we've heard a lot from middle school. What about
it's elementary?
MTSS board, I'll say, like, we don't have a clear structure in place. Like, we know, like, we've been to PDs when we have to do, like, how to record stuff, how to do stuff. We have been doing that forever. But when it's come to action, who's taking care of these? What, who's doing these? How's this process going to look like? What is actually going to happen after these 2 weeks? We don't have those, any of those in place. And it's kind of frustrating because I've been tracking and it's been 6 weeks and then, you know. So, you know, when we used to have those half Friday, we were able to fit in those, and now we don't, so it's kind of hard. And also, I don't know, what do you think about?
Yeah, no, we've talked about it. I think in general, the school lacks just consistent systems and structures for everything. I think nothing exists, and people, if something does exist, people don't know how to access it, whether it's MTSS, whether it's how do we place students in the appropriate classes, whether it's how can I get support for mental health, whether it's how can I get support for behavior. There's nothing consistent in place for teachers to access that and for kids to get all the various resources and services that we may or may not have. And stuff like that also would just, if we can get some of that stuff down and get consistent and competent in running those, then I think that'll allow our staff and school to be more proactive. I feel like since I've been here, I feel like we've just been constantly chasing our tail, dealing with discipline or behaviors or this thing that comes up or this thing, and there's nothing that's been proactively put into place to actually sustain us. It's constantly just playing catch up. And I know other schools have these functioning systems in place too. So allowing admin or teachers to, you know, visit other schools and just kind of start building some of that stuff from the ground up and being consistent with it.
The word that came to mind when he was saying that to me was the teachers in this building work so hard.
Yes.
And we are all so tired. And I've heard Jose say that. We're almost working too hard.
I'm afraid we're going to have a huge turnover in staff next year.
I mean, and we have for the past few years.
Yeah.
So one thing that needs to be done is how can we get the current staff to stay?
To work smarter and not work harder.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How can we get our students to do more of the work instead of the teachers doing so much?
Get smarter than students.
And some of it is, like he said, school-wide structures need to be in place. How do the middle schoolers walk down the hall?
Yeah.
Collecting cell phones first hour and handing them out at the end of the day.
Expectations.
I mean, little things like that, but
what you were saying, that teachers are supposed to be out supervising during transitions on middle school. I'm sorry, I'm just gonna say it. I never see anybody there.
Yeah.
There's
just
an
example.
There's not enough of us.
They had a meeting here talking about students are not supposed to go to their lockers.
But there's no one to support us on it. The kids just defy us.
I can talk to, like, in the morning, they make us to supervise. Like, I'm at the door since I'm here. They never listen to me. They want to go in the classroom. They want to go to the lockers. Talk to them.
And recess,
lunchtime, they never listen to us.
That's a huge problem. We even got an email from Jose that said, hey, we need the middle school teachers out there helping with bus duty because the middle school students won't listen to the elementary students, or the elementary kids won't listen to the middle school teachers. If they haven't built a relationship, they won't do anything for it.
Yeah.
And I went and I said, that's wrong. I've taught in so many different grade buildings and diverse buildings.
But then in the morning, that's also the middle school teachers, that's like our only fan time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's
no, so that's what I'm saying is that, but they
right.
should, the expectation
it
should be that they listen
off.
To all adults in the building.
The structure.
Whether they know them or not.
And they never listen to the parents.
No.
Never. They don't consider us from ECE to 8th grade.
And
you're lucky if they only
lot.
Ignore you. But they get on your face. You know what happened yesterday.
Well, and I mean, this is some of the stuff where I think there's a disconnect sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we're trying. We're out there in the hallways every single
hour.
But if they're in their locker and you go up and say, hey, close your locker, and then they just walk away, you know, nothing was resolved there.
No. Right.
And that's a lot of the situations we're dealing
with
right now.
And
it's so much that we can't.
Filled.
Right.
Yeah.
So that she did that. That happens, then now they have lunch.
And I kept on asking for
like
the
that little annoying bit of time.
Gotcha.
Like their time is what's worth it for them. So they get their recess, but not anymore because he was just rude to a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So that gap that Ms. Lohr no longer fills, unfortunately, hopefully we can get a position there.
And
but
is that a DPS thing? Why didn't we get a substitute Lohr? Or our counselor was gone for 2 weeks. Why didn't they have to have a substitute? I came from Wichita Public Schools, which is a similar. You check it out. It's very similar to Denver Public Schools. We had kids bussed in from the other side of town. And if our discipline person was gone, they had to have a substitute. If our counselor was gone, there was a substitute in there. They had to have a substitute, just like teachers do.
So I want to make sure I'm answering the question. I promise I'm coming back to it.
No, that's fine. That's
just to play forward, I'm asking the question for two reasons, just to be very transparent, right? It's one, so that I can partner with, you know, Jose and your administrative team around the collaborative conversation that I'm assuming you're having around these problems, right? So that I have a better perspective on it. What would ironically get in the way of all the strengths I just heard in terms of now we're working as a team is if I start interjecting solutions in it, right? Like what's working is, and a lot of these are school-based, so the budget is a school-based decision, so there's no automatic DPS policy that we're gonna trigger for Carol. There's some
conversation that I just think I'm going to be out of my zone and out of respect to Jose, and I've heard a lot of respect for Jose.
No.
I don't think I'm going to be helpful if I jump in too far in the weeds yet. I can assure you I'll follow up and say, so where are we at on this?
Sure.
And then my second purpose is, as we look at your long-term principle, right, what are the strengths that are working that we need to hire for, and what are the problems we're still trying to solve? I mean, I think you've done tremendous work in 8 weeks, so please give yourself huge celebrations for that. And let me play back what I think I'm hearing. In terms of buckets, a lot in terms of discipline. The need for school-wide structures and consistency shows up in multiple ways. How we work as staff across K-8, how we work our budget, how do we support Carol Lord, but also the position that's right now vacated, this balance of positive and consequence or negative intervention. I'm not phrasing it right, but you said it better. And then there are some resource questions that still remain. So while I heard that if there's more transparency around the budget you're working on, there's still some resource issues, right? And those include the potential need for multiple deans. That is a school-based decision, but we can, you know, engage in that. Staffing lower and upper in general, sixth grade, you know, boy, most of the city's almost in a decline. Like, it's our first kind of break even. A lot of regions. For you to go up is a celebration, but I also realized the spike and the suddenness was really hard to plan around. Mm-hmm. And that affects specials. And how did I do in terms of the summary of the overall buckets? Need for consistent systems includes discipline, but also MTSS there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so, again, to say, like, I want to make sure I'm hearing so how I can, I just work behind the scenes, but I want to make sure I'm partnering with your administration as they partner with you. But then also, this affects the hiring, right? Like, what's working and what's not. And so, I heard one voice and saw lots of nods for an ask of, like, can Jose stay another year? Mm-hmm. He and I have talked about this. You know, while maybe he could commit to a slight bit more time, he's not your long-term principal. He loves you. He's done, I think, an exceptional job. It's really good to hear, right? And I do think this is the right window, and I want to hear from you in terms of, and May wasn't, right? It wasn't,
no.
Right? And so, you know, I wanted to wait long enough to just know, like, are we creating the better conditions, right? To be even clearer as to who do we want, right? Mm-hmm. And what are we hiring for in terms of characteristics that can keep these positive things going and solve, or support you in solving, you know, these next level of challenges. And I think the timing is right. And so here's why, and then, you know, round me up here. The earliest hires is the biggest pool, right? And I would love for PlaceBridge, and Susanna and Mike and I are aligned as to how high a priority you are, right? Like, I have, out of 21 schools, you're top six for high priority. Majoring has three, I have three, like, you are our highest priority when it comes to budget assistance, I know that doesn't solve all problems, but when it comes to our partner support, like with the EL training, right, when it comes, and one of the ways we can show that is by prioritizing the hire while the pool is going to be at its most generous. Last May, I don't know, I don't know three-fourths of that process, I can't speak to it, I walked in late. But I can tell you there are already inquiries from very experienced, very strong leaders who say, I've heard PlaceBridge is a magical place. I wouldn't leave my school for anywhere but PlaceBridge. I've heard that twice. I kind of hire principals as my job, right? Like, that's a pretty unique thing to, like, have cold call hits, right? And I just do a standard, well, tell me, you know, here, I don't know when I'm going to meet with CSC, you know. But that tells me something about the ripeness of the candidacy pool, you know, and that has me wonder. The other thing is, I think you've done such good work, and now as we think about new systems, if I was a new principal, I would want to be at least a part of those conversations, right? And so I would love to do the hire in a way where the person could at least be a part of spring planning, CSC meetings, SLT meetings, I'm speaking for a hypothetical person. I don't know how available they are, right? And I will just make sure that we run a process to hire the very best. And if they're not available in January, then we're still going to hire the very best, right? But theoretically, running the process now allows us to get somebody who could be at your school getting to know you now, as opposed to that September, August, October, we're just kind of figuring each other out. So that's my thinking. Round me up, push against, you know. But I just wanted to lead with that, and I appreciate. And Jose and I had talked about that question. I think it's a compliment to him and to you that you've brought this school so far in such a short period of time. So, what are your thoughts or reactions to that?
I agree with you, and I think we need to go back into May, April, whenever it was that when we first met Jose. Is that he was very transparent with us, and he said, and he even said at the beginning of the year, I am here for a year. I'm here to help you fix this school, support this school, but this is not a long-term gig for me. He loves his retirement, and he loves the ability and the opportunity to do both, best of both worlds, still stay in his field where he is just dynamic, but also enjoy the luxuries of a retiree. And I think we need to honor that too. I'll put him on the spot where, oh, could you stay a little bit longer? You could stay a little bit longer because, you know, I think, like I said, he was very transparent, and that's what always resonated with me with regard to working with him from the time I met him, is that I'm here to support you and get you to where you need to be successful. And I think that's all we can ask for. That's my personal opinion, just after working with him and
I get
honoring
that.
His thoughts.
Yeah, I say I agree with that. I think it is a good year for the transition and for him he came in to help calm the waters and to get us ready. But I also agree that a new principal should be part of these discussions and help put the systems into place.
Yeah, because I'd love to see a new principal in place by early spring so they can see how everything's going, be part of it, as you say. But one of the problems this year is because of the switch when the school started, we didn't have rosters. It was like,
right.
It was everyone's like scrambling, trying to figure it out. And we can't afford to have that happen again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's right. Imperative that we have a new principal
earlier.
On board earlier. with Jose still here,
Teacher
work week, we should be saying, hey, this is what we're going to do this year. This is what is all expected of staff. I mean, we should be doing that. And some of our PED should be training and learning some of these things that would help us be better. You know, even like a little training on IC and how to document behaviors. What's the difference between conference? We had a little PD on it, but it was so fast. It was a Thursday afternoon. I'd like to see it more. I like some training. I like to actually sit down and work with it and put some stuff, you know.
Well, that's really, really helpful, and I think is a very good read of your school. I appreciate that. I was thinking about the scheduling fiascos in August, and like, okay, yeah, this is yet another reason to prioritize the early hire. So let me just talk a little bit about processes in general. Go ahead, please.
Do you mind if I push back just a little bit?
Oh, sure.
Not that, you know, I don't respect Jose's decision or anything, but I would rather him be here. Okay. I think one of the biggest issues that our school has had over the last 4 years is just super high staff turnover.
Yeah.
Every year it's new people, every year it's new teachers. You know, I'm just worried that if we change stuff again, that the kids are going to get the impression that, oh, here goes another person.
Yeah.
Right? That's my only thing that I want to say about that. I just don't want it to get lost in the weeds there.
I'm struggling with that a little bit. You know, it's like, is it the band-aid? The challenge is, even if we do another 6 months, we're doing that.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
I understand.
But I totally agree. I don't know if this is the fair answer. I was thinking, I have two children, both are DPS students. My oldest is at East, freshman, which was crazy, dropping off. Called my wife like, ooh, that felt like kindergarten drop off. I mean, there were no hugs or pictures, don't get me wrong, but, you know, emotional on my side. But when she was born at St. Joe's there on 18th, and the pediatrician that came in the room was just magnificent.
we were just like, and so we asked her, like, can we join your practice? You know, we have Kaiser, like, how do we? And she's like, oh, no, this isn't how that works. Like, I'm only, this is what I do. I only come in. And I don't know if that analogy works, but, like, Jose, at this point in his life, right, and he has made a commitment to his family, and I take those very seriously, right, comes in, he is a uniter, you know, and is very committed to the school. But if we were to lean in right away, let me just talk a little bit about the process for hiring, and then we would shape some of that as a collective team. And so we would form a school principal selection committee, advisory committee, and it is advisory, right? Ultimately, this leads to recommendations to the superintendent. My responsibility in the process is to make sure it's as collaborative in terms of input as possible, and that I'm gathering feedback left and right. You know, I'll bring somewhere between 1 to 3 recommendations to her with, like, packets like this, right, of what was every piece of feedback we heard from community forum, from the school principal advisory committee, to, these kind of conversations. What have we seen in their previous data, and collaborate if they have it, right, or tell if they're from another system, et cetera. And so we have a little bit of flexibility, but we want to make sure it's collaborative. Sure, it's as robust as possible, that doesn't scare off strong people, right? And so I think that looks like a school advisory selection committee. There are definitely ground rules for those of you who have been, in terms of balance of staff and community members. One member, but definitely not more than 2 of CSC, right? So we're getting a really diverse representative group. CSC's formal authority and responsibility is selecting that committee so that it's diverse and representative. CSC doesn't do it itself, right? I think most people know this. So, and then we would determine, you know, within some questions that we always ask standard, both CSC and that committee would determine what do we really want to lean in on based on the characteristics. I'd love to put out a survey in all languages that asked for members to join that committee, but also for if you can't participate, because it's, you know, probably 2 nights, what are the characteristics you're looking for in a principal? We would bring that person forward for community forum, of course, so that if, whether people are on that advisory committee or not, they would get to have input. Behind the scenes, we will do a very rigorous screen, right? Every member has to be put into the pool. I believe that the best predictor of future performance is previous performance, so I do a lot of reference calls above and beyond the standard. The challenge with that is I can't share what I learn, right, even with the school advisory. And so the challenge there, right, is like we need to make sure it's robust input, but I won't like bring an up-down vote kind of on some things that we just can't even talk about, right? But we want to just collect feedback at every process. Some schools ask for some additional interviews, you know, students to participate, like I'm very open to that. And we do additional instructional look-fors, like having them walk into other schools. But, you know, with somewhat similar demographics, maybe similar problems of practice, and they identify for my deputy and I, like, what are you seeing? What would you do to coach and support around discipline systems, for example, you know, to try to make this as real life as possible. So those are some of the processes. Are there any additional ones that you would want to recommend when we talk about the process itself?
So those principal walkthroughs are just in other schools?
Usually in another school. Okay. Yeah, I'm open on that.
Yeah, what's the thought process behind not doing it?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I smile because in other systems, I would actually purposefully do it. And it is in DPS, I think the previous, but you know, we're in a reorganization, so a revision process was just to be as objective as possible. How are we seeing people like in this isolated skill? When there's an internal candidate, it's an effect, like it's not fair to have one internal candidate and then one
True.
External.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't have an objection if you would be interested in having the person really lean in here. I think there is merit to it. What are your thoughts?
I personally think that makes sense to see how they would specifically respond to issues within our own school.
Mm-hmm.
That are specific to our school.
Yeah, because last year when they were doing the walkthroughs, the school, the original school that was chosen to walk through, was not, it just didn't fit with Place Bridge.
They changed
and so
it.
Then they changed it, but we want to make sure that if, gotcha. If you are doing a walkthrough, that it matches what we have here.
Great. That's great input. Let me, you know, I haven't had that conversation with Mike yet, because again, you would be one of the earliest hires if we go now. And I like that. I think, you know, you're in such a transition stage to like pull somebody in and give them a little bit of context and then genuinely say, so how would you support this faculty,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
So let me play with that. That's great. Any other requests as we go in on the process, including like what didn't work? I wasn't here,
yeah.
so I'm not going to be defensive
the,
about
the
that.
The other thing, did you want
to add on that real quick?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Another reason why I think it would be good to have people, applicants more familiar with this school is I felt like last year, the other guy who interviewed with Ken,
yeah.
Ron,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I just felt like his talk, his community forum, he spoke very well and presented himself wonderfully, but I didn't feel like I got a real good feeling for like what would he look like as my principal, because he was just kind of throwing out all of these, you know, hypothetical situations and kind of what he believes, but I didn't get, and I feel like that's kind of the easier thing to do as a canon is come in and say, I believe in this and student involvement, staff should work together and collaboration, and you know, it's real easy to throw around those buzzwords, but it'd be great to see what MTSS system would you put in place? Like, show us a flow chart. What sort of behavior discipline chart would you put in place? Show us your actual systems.
I think pigging off of him,
oh,
I just didn't feel there was a lot of transparency with him. I feel like a lot of us felt like he was, I don't know.
I'm not saying
process-wise?
Some of that can't be transparent.
Some of it can't be, but we just kind of felt like,
I think process-wise, there were some concerns last year as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, one thing that was a major concern was not having enough parent voice.
Mm-hmm.
And not, we've got parents that are staff members, but we need parents that are...
Parents.
And
exactly.
Not in the building.
And we need a stronger base of community representatives.
Yeah.
Outside. I mean, there's staff, there's parents, there's
gotcha.
Community.
Yeah.
And
which
we have a very,
and
we were pretty lightweighted on the community side.
Yeah. And I think just parent involvement in the whole thing, just letting parents know what's happening at their school in general of everything that we do is important. But that was a big piece that I think was also missing.
And I mean, not great,
but
to Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think one of the things we could do is, you know, I'll try to get a letter together pretty quickly then that could really advertise the process, you know, for participation in the school selection advisory committee. And again, that's not the only anchor, right? That's 10 people. But it's a nice way to, like, generate some buzz, get some surveys filled out, and then that hopefully launches into higher participation in the community forum. So let me work on that.
The one thing that I felt last year is that it was a very rushed process.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like we started
sure.
it and we ended it. And I think starting it early hopefully will give us a little bit more time to really examine and really look into what we want. But it was a very rushed process last year.
I think there were some questions from staff about how people were picked for the committee as well.
Yeah, that was a big concern.
I don't think that was ever made. I was on the committee. I'm not sure how I got on the committee. It was very random.
Gotcha.
Like,
yeah.
You
for
were
sure
on the committee.
I
don't know how you got.
No, you were representing teachers and.
I know, but I wasn't sure like who picked me or why I was picked. You know what I mean?
CSC picked you.
Based on.
Based on your representing middle school and special ed.
Someone nominated you.
Okay.
You were nominated.
Just being transparent as possible.
I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And I think other people didn't understand either. I don't think I'm the only one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, so let me try to get that application. We can do
That's
both hard copy and electronic to try to get, because I think the best way to answer that is when we have, even though it's hard, right, like more than 10,
mm-hmm.
so that we're really in a selection process. And the hardest is when you're in a just straight recruitment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then how do you really ensure? And really the criteria will be to be as diverse and representative as your beautiful school, which is a hard charge, right? And so that's, but that's racially, ethnically, language-wise, community-wise, family-wise, staff-wise, upper, lower, right? And so I'll try to be as transparent around that as possible, also just to advertise it so that we can hopefully get a lot of applicants.
That's great. A big one, because we didn't really have too many applicants, and
And also parent survey was very little. Oh. Last year it was like around 20-ish, 30-ish, something like that.
Considering how many families we have here. So that goes along with making sure they're included.
It was rushed last year. It was quick. And we don't
maybe looking at doing it in different languages too.
Absolutely.
Also for our school, we have to take look at that as a
discount. Different locations too. I feel like it's such an easy barrier to say, well, so many of our families can't come to school, but we're very lucky in that so much of our families is concentrated in pretty close areas. Mm-hmm. So would it be possible to do community forums in those locations with the principal? It at Grace Apartments. Et cetera, et cetera. But
which would cover a lot of the.
It's much easier to move two people there than 500 people here.
Right.
And it would be a great experience for those candidates.
But, that's a great idea.
We cannot actually do something at Pine Creek. We would have to find something. Pine Creek has a very strict policy based on their management agency. We could not meet there, but we could find a location nearby. That could be a draw.
It must be a church or something.
It could be a church.
I mean,
it could
is
be
there a girls or boys club or a church?
Well, there is boys and girls club. There's Winter Gardens
Gardens.
They have numerous community rooms and stuff. But we just need to know it needs to be close, but not on their premises.
I think they changed management recently.
And I have one question. Don't do church because there is a many Muslim family. They're not going to go in the church.
I don't want to 100% commit. I'm an under promise, hopefully over deliver, but I love the idea of a community location, so let me look into that. Anything else?
So when does this, what does the time frame look like for when you go ding, we're starting the process now, until when would you expect to be hiring or making a job offer?
I think the ideal, but I don't want it to feel rushed, would be I'll call Mike on my drive home. To post ASAP. Like you can always post, right? It's like the lowest risk job part of the hiring process. Start to see who we get. I am running a current process at Hill Middle School right now, and I'm not saying that every applicant for Hill should be considered here, but there is a benefit into dual processes somewhat concurrently, right? Because you get folks where you go, I'm not sure this is the right match. Well, why don't we, and you get some buzz. I don't get to see my family, but that's okay. So I think we can post right away. I can work on a letter. We've already been working on things like surveys, just generic ones and applications for ESPASAC. Clearly, we want to get it in every language, which is a big lift. I think right now I have standard templates in 5, but I'll make sure it has a little more PlaceBridge-specific language. Long story short, I think I could get a letter out Friday, if not Monday.
Are we posted
at least
yet or not?
I'm not 100% sure, actually. I should check. Yeah. Are you? I'm getting
I'm
calls,
talking, is the position posted?
The principal.
No, it's not specific. It's not. But they're still getting out.
I mean, we definitely have principal postings. And, it was no secret that we would be hiring, so there's, I'm not 100%, but I think the people who have reached out to me, it was based on my spring letter, right, May, when we first met, that said, because one of them was over the summer and one was more recent, but I should ask them where they saw it. Either way, we want to post large and far, right? I don't know if your best person's internal DPS, if there's somebody with a deep newcomer program background from across the country, I don't know, but I want to get some buzz there. I want to get buzz with your family and your staff community around participating. And then if we're getting, right, a rich pool on both ends, right, participants for the selection and candidates, we could start interviews right after Thanksgiving break and run, you know, I think a very thoughtful process in December, no problem. Like, this would be my number one priority. And we could at least hypothetically make an offer before winter break. I never promise a timeline because I always eat my words on hiring, right?
That seems pretty aggressive.
Yeah, and it's aggressive. You know, it's close. What that could allow is somebody to shape their second semester if they're a sitting principal, right? I mean, that's what, or a sitting AP, right, who has commitments. That's what I would be racing toward. It's not worth making a rush, but there is a benefit to if somebody's going to have the benefit of Jose here for day to day, right, and you're, but to be able to start to participate in strategic planning and CSCs, you know, if somebody's at least aware of that possibility before break, you know, so I'd like to take it as far as I can, making sure that, so what, yeah, you're saying it feels a little rushed.
I don't think so. I agree with you, Kevin. I think the best pool of principals are happening right now.
That's the trick.
And I think December to offer something before winter.
And I heard you say you weren't happy with the candidates last May, so I want to deliver.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
Question. If, let's say that the new hire comes in January, is Jose going to stay on till May as well? My last school, I had an interim principal, and the interim principal, as the new principal was coming in, they actually, the district created a whole new position for her to stay an entire year. Not saying that we want Jose to do that, but to kind of like help her come into the new position. Would Jose be staying until May to
I think for the most part he's committed for the year, right?
Okay.
I mean, family vacation, when you hire somebody who's retired, right? Like, you know, the commitments come up. Where I'm like purposefully, transparently leaving a little bit of ambiguity is like, let's say we hire a veteran who needs some release, right, to be here for a meeting. Like, I think we should leave ourselves a little bit of flexibility in terms of how he's using his time. I'm picturing him here for the bulk of the year while trying to get your new person here as much as possible.
Okay.
And it's so hypothetical, right?
Okay.
Because I don't run a process.
But it's not like he's just
going to
go away all of a sudden.
No.
Okay.
No.
We want to make sure of that.
We can deflate his tires. I don't have any intentions for that. And, you know, if, like, magically the right person, like, truly is available to start, you know, 4 months is probably a long run-up, so that, I think that's a conversation three ways between two very, two very strong professionals. Like, what's the best way to work this out, right? Jose's done this before, right? Like, he knows how to onboard, so he'll be coaching me as well. We had a very successful similar transition with Greta Martinez and coming out of retirement at Stedman, Michael Atkins at Stedman now. I will say it, I think it's a good strong anchor of some of what you're talking about that we can play off of. Some of that will depend on the level of expertise of your new principal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even if the right person, if they're a sitting AP, is going to want more of Jose's time. If they're a stronger, right? So
right.
I just want to leave a little bit of wiggle room, but let me lean back to him. Go ahead.
I don't expect this to happen, but if through this process, you know, come December, January, that the people involved are feeling like the right candidate is not out there, is it a possibility to try to then go back to Jose and be like, would you be willing to stay another year and then open it back up? Again, I don't anticipate that happening, but...
Yeah.
Is that something we should be
I think
open
anything's
to?
A possibility. You know, what I'm committed to is that you have the right leader for your school this year and next year, right? I think, I don't mean politically, like House of Cards politically, but like strategically, I think long term we could be setting ourselves in a hard position of recruiting, right? I think it's one thing for a position to go down and we didn't fill it. We do that twice. The ability to recruit really strong folks. I mean, you know, because the stronger the person, the more risk they're taking of putting, like, they probably already have a really good gig, right?
Yeah.
And so it better be like, hey, I could see myself being successful in this, and that would be my biggest fear.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Like, what signals are we sending?
Yeah.
Great question. I realize we're over time. I can stay, but why don't I answer just a couple more whole group?
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, Nick.
Yeah.
I missed you.
I just have a quick suggestion. Like, through DPS, we have, like, Educa newspapers and TV and radios. So if you utilize that tool, it's translated to many, many languages that our parents speak. So the parents listen to it every Tuesday.
Great.
I mean, like a whole week, some of them. So, and it's also online, Twitter, and, you know, through Facebook and all that. So it'll be really great, and they'll hear it so that, you
know.
It's
a great idea. Yeah.
They don't know it before.
Love it.
When the time
Let's get
comes.
Some buzz. Yeah.
I was going to ask also, what, like, to make sure we are getting the best candidates, what can we do to offer them support to come to this school? Would it be, and one random idea was, would it be possible to have, because I'm assuming any principal or any good candidate's going to be booked pretty solid through, you know, June
right,
this year, so they're not going to be able to spend a ton of time this spring. Would it be possible to have Jose help onboard next year, like in August and September? I mean, obviously that would be a cost, but that I think for principals that would be, I mean, I imagine that would be like a very enticing thing for a candidate that, you know, they would have the support of the previous principal for the first few months too, so.
Yeah, particularly if we're not able to get the person here much in January and February, let me really push that. I don't know, but let me play with, you know, this is a chess game, right?
Yeah.
It depends on who it is, when they're available.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But let me at least start that conversation with Jose and with Mike and Susanna and have that kind of shovel ready, particularly if we couldn't get the person here much in the beginning of the 2020.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. One step at a time. You'll get sick of me. Because CSC in particular will call a meeting once I have a sense of how many applications we're getting in, I'll reach out because we'll want to schedule that advisory selection committee right around the November break. So let me look at some dates. Again, we'll select the committee. I think the survey could for sure be open whether we do the selection before November break or not. The survey could be live during that week. Hopefully that'll help a little bit. I know when people aren't in school, we don't get a ton. But and then we'll map out a timeline, and I'll put that out as soon as I can.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.